Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Hey, welcome back. So we want to talk about the Irish women's rugby team, who are now down to 10th in the world rankings after their worst Six Nations finish in 13 years, included a first ever Six Nations loss to Italy. So Ireland now fall below Spain to 10th in the rankings. And not so long ago, things seemed to be much better. Grand Slam winners in 2013, World Cup semi-finalists in 2014, and Six Nations winners again in 2015. To discuss, we've got Fiona Steed with us, 62 caps for Ireland, retired back in 04, and Philip Doyle, a former head coach, Grand Slam winning coach, of course, in 2013, and was part of the World Cup effort in 2014. You're both very welcome. Fiona, you might just sum up, for people who haven't seen all the games, the level of performance we've seen from the Irish team this Six Nations?
Yes, so I suppose the performance has been poor, and I think that was epitomised on Sunday last, where, I mean, I was hoping for a result, and even if they'd scraped a result with a poor performance, I would have been happy, but they got neither. So lots of, I suppose, individual errors, sort of malfunction in defence, poor handling, and a kicking game that showed flashes of brilliance, but then sometimes was just really not at the races. That sounds very critical, I know, but I suppose you just have to be quite analytical about it. And while there were some good patches and some good attacking play, overall, we didn't really see, I suppose, a real style or game plan that I'd hoped for. Or much progression, to be fair. Now, the set piece was good going into the last game. We were looking at maybe, you know, 81% effective at the scrum and 70-odd at the line-out, so it was OK. But unfortunately, the scrum was dismantled on Sunday against Wales, who wouldn't be the best or the most formidable scrummagers.
Mm. And how does it compare to what we were seeing from an Irish team 5-6 years ago?
Oh, sure, look, I mean, there's no comparison if you go back to 2014. And, you know, I suppose I went over to cheer them on in the World Cup in France. And, you know, it was just great. I suppose the style of rugby, I don't want to blow smoke there up Philip as he's on the other line. But, you know, the style of rugby and the commitment to what they were trying to do was fantastic. Now, we had a very special bunch of players as well at that time. And
yeah.
I suppose they had evolved over years as well. So, you know, this is a totally new squad to give it balance, relatively speaking, you know. So, yeah, the style is different. The effectiveness of that is different. And, yeah, but back in 2013, 14, 15, that squad, and Philip will be able to tell you about it, but they had been building over the years. It wasn't an overnight success by any stretch. And I'm still sort of hopeful, slightly hopeful, I suppose, after I was very depressed after the weekend, but that, you know, this bunch of players with the right support and the right approach, there's certainly girls there that have a really good skill set, but are just not used to playing at this level. You know, if you compare, we had five starters on Sunday from the corresponding fixture last year when we beat Wales, I think 35-12 in Donnybrook, and only five of those were starting. So lots of changes, you know, within that. So I'm still hopeful. As I say, there is some really good talent there, but it's just they didn't really put it all together at all.
Philip, I mean, fairly grim times. It seems certainly in your day like things were about to kick on in a big way, and it's gone the opposite way. The line that's often trotted out of late is that the 15s game, abandoned is too strong a word, but let's say the sevens, the Irish women's sevens, is very much the priority now in Anthony Eddy's view and in the RFU's view.
Yeah, you're 100% right there, Joe. It is. It is an Olympic sport, and they are going to go for qualification. But unfortunately, it's been totally at the detriment of the 15s. We've asked for a technical review after the World Cup 2 years ago, and we got a three-point aim for the next World Cup. One of them was to finish top three in the Six Nations. Well, that's obviously gone flat in its head straight off. So. The big question for me is basically the technical director of the women's side is Anthony Eddy, yeah. And basically the whole game was completely dismantled. And where is he on this point? Like, where are we going here? We've asked this a couple of years ago again for direction, and technical direction is just non-existent as far as I can see. We are going backwards.
In July 2018, Anthony Eddy, who's the director of women's and sevens rugby, as you said, with the RFU, he said, this was what, July 2018, we're not focused on one or the other. We're focused on women's rugby and trying to develop the numbers so that we can compete. You're not buying that?
No, not in the slightest am I buying that. Not anymore now. There's complete neglect towards the 15s as far as I can see. He lollipops in 50 sevens players into this squad at will, technically to say, oh, look, at these sevens players can now play 15s. Mm. Well, quite frankly, Eddie, they can't. We've seen it now through and through in the last two Six Nations that this can't happen anymore. You're either a 15s player or you're a sevens player. You can't be both at the exact same time. End of story.
Because the argument they're making, or seem to be making, is that in a bid to try and attract more players, the sevens is an easier gateway to rugby for players who may not have played before, and they can play sevens for Ireland and then go on potentially to play 15s as well. It's a way to raise numbers generally, but clearly you're not quite buying that either. It's not working out that way, it seems.
No, it's not working out that way at all. You can play both codes, fair enough, and you pick what side you want to go to, yeah. And that's great, and it's great for the sevens, and they have their targets, and off they go. But you can't do it, taking 15s players out, or like out of the squad. Like, yeah. You can't put sevens players, dropping them into a 23. Some of them who haven't even played 15s rugby before, in their position. Like, there was a hooker in there this year. And Fiona can back me up on this, I think, that hadn't played hooker on a 15s team before. She played 15s, but not as hooker. And now she's playing for Ireland. Now, she's a very good ball player, don't get me wrong. But you can't have that. You've got to have a backbone. You have to have a backbone. And Fiona was going on about the scrum last Sunday, and there you were. There's the evidence.
Lindsay Peat, Fiona said, it can't go on the way it is. There's a real desperation about a line like that. Do you share Philip's concerns about the 15s versus the 7s?
I do, and I think that every country struggles with the 15s versus the 7s piece. So if you look at, what's happened in England, what's happened in France, England have, I suppose, yo-yoed over and back with favouring 15s or 7s, depending on if it was an Olympic cycle or a World Cup cycle. And now they've sort of, they've split it and split their emphasis so that both teams and both squads are, there's emphasis on both. But they brought back three of their main players, Emily Scarrett, Mo Hunt and Jess Breach, who was outstanding, into the 15s aside. So the girls chose that. And now they're, they're contracted, they're professional, they're getting paid to play 15-a-side rugby, but their sevens team is struggling. So it's not unique to Ireland. France also are struggling on the sevens circuit. They had Jesse Tremulier, World Player of the Year, was with the sevens, was injured, came back and played against us up in Donnybrook as well. So it's not unique to us, but I think what's unique to us is the disparity in terms of our emphasis, and our emphasis does appear to be very much on the seven side. And saying things like it's a gateway for people to get into rugby, I mean, how many prop forwards are you seeing playing sevens or second rows? Yeah. Or, it's a very niche market, sevens is. And I totally commend what they're doing for the sevens. Mm. I think that has to be, like, we're top four in the world in the last World Series game, have a legitimate chance, probably through the repechage, of qualifying for the Olympics, did really well in the World Cup last year in America. And I totally, totally applaud that. And I think it's fantastic, okay?
Yeah.
It's great as an Irish woman, as an Irish rugby player, as an Irish person. You applaud that and fair play. But it's a very niche market, and it's easier to convert your talented footballers, your talented basketballers, your talented hockey players into the sevens mode and into the sevens game.
Yeah.
But 15s is much more complex and it requires a lot more input. And I don't feel that there's enough emphasis on the high performance piece in the 15 aside. So I was obviously involved in that review that Philip mentioned, and, you know, I'm not speaking about the detail of it because I'm not supposed to, but just to say that we looked for and didn't get information on the high performance piece. So we did a lot of work then on the grassroots and on participation and on governance and all of that, which we had access to. And so the RFU are doing a lot with grassroots. Okay, there's the Aldi Play Rugby, there's the Give It a Try programs, there's increased funding for AIL teams and provincial teams and that to grow it at the grassroots and slightly above. But the structures aren't then there for people that are playing for Ireland. So Philip mentioned Dervla Nicombard, who was really good around the park on Sunday. She was the hooker. But yeah, she hasn't had competitive 15-a-side matches in the front row. And like, I'm partial to not blaming the tight head props for the when scrums go wrong. And but yet, if you looked at it, you know, without knowing more on, you know, on Sunday, you would say, oh, well, you know, the tight head got pushed back every time. But then as a unit across the front row, it was only their second time playing together. Obviously, Leah Lyons was injured, which was a big a big piece for the last two games as well, because she's been outstanding. Now, she's playing a much higher standard of rugby week in, week out in the UK, herself and Anna Capeless. And I think that their performances have been sort of indicative of the standard of rugby that they're playing week in, week out. So, okay, so that's a long
Let's just take a broad look at this for a second, right?
Yeah.
So the Women in Rugby Action Plan for 2018 to 2023 was part of this IRFU plan, which was unveiled last year. And there's lots of lofty targets, as you might expect. So the Sevens, the objectives are a top six finish at the 2022 World Cup. They want to qualify for the Tokyo Olympics. And presumably the extra state money, that's one of the reasons to really target the Olympics as well. So that's the Sevens, which everybody feels is going well. And as you said, Fiona, they finished third in Sydney in February. So the Sevens seems to be going well. But ultimately, this is a country far more interested in the 15s. It's on television in the springtime. People want to see the team going well. And it seems like under Philip not so long ago, things were going very well. The IRFU for the 15s game between 2018 and 2023, they have targeted consistent top three finishes and one title in the Six Nations over the next 5 years, as well as a first ever top six finish at the 2021 World Cup. So it seems like we're nowhere near achieving that. Philip, can you explain to me, so in comparison with what you were working with, you know, when Lindsay Peete says it can't go on the way it is, Adam Griggs is trying to do a job at the moment. Is his job more difficult than it was for you? When we're talking about the 15s game being abandoned in some respects, how is that manifesting itself day to day, month to month, currently? What is the difference with 2013, 2014?
Yeah, it is slightly different. The season structure has changed quite dramatically. My day, I wanted interprovincials at November, December. So it was a stepping stone from club to interprovincial, and then I got very competitive games. And then I went into January with a squad playing relatively decent rugby.
Yeah.
And then obviously we took it on to the Six Nations. At the moment, the interprovincials are played in September, and they are a vehicle for I don't know what, to be honest, because there is autumn internationals in November, so they have a break. They go from interprovincial to club, back to international, then but technically back to club. But what's happening is, and Fiona said that in the Tyrrells League, they're playing week in, week out. Here, we're not playing week in, week out. We're not regularly playing rugby. These girls are playing less rugby than when I had them back in 13, 14.
Right.
That's the biggest problem for me. I'm coaching in the AAL at the moment. I coach my Alex and my daughter in Blackrock College Rugby Club, and we have a great bunch of players like everybody else does in the league, but we're not getting consistent representation from our international players at all. I know UL Bowes, the Irish captain, I know has played one game for UL Bowes this year. Now, she had one injury, but still, it wasn't that serious. And there's number of I could literally go through the whole squad that they are not playing enough rugby for their clubs. And you're having to step up and step down all the time. And it's just throwing the players all over the place. So there's not consistency in their game. And you can see that in the Six Nations this year, that they're not match sharp. They're not certainly not match fit. Now, they could be relatively physically fit, but they're not match fit, nowhere near it. And for me, that's where the biggest problem lies. Now, I believe there's big there's structural changes coming for next season. But what's that? We don't know yet. But if the girls don't play enough club rugby consistently, they're going to be in the same boat, exactly the same again. And that's going to be their biggest problem going forward.
And why were the Interpros, as a matter of interest, moved from November, December back to September?
I have no idea.
Okay. Any ideas?
This is Anthony Eddy. He's the technical director for the women's game. It was his decision to do this, and I don't understand why. And because, okay, you could say that, okay, the girls play decent rugby at the start of the season, then they go play club. But we're not seeing them at the club. They go into, there's more camps for the Irish players now. There's millions of camps. They've loads of time together, which is great. But they're not, it's not reflecting back on the club. And then they're just player managed. And there has to be a certain amount of player management, absolutely. But they're obviously not getting rugby.
Yeah,
they're training a lot, but they're not getting rugby.
And is there any argument that they're better off training with fellow elite players and that they're the quality of rugby at club level isn't good enough?
Well, it's not being let be good enough. How about that?
Philip, I get the distinct impression, to wrap this up, that you're a bit peeved, frankly. You're looking on and you're seeing a lot of great work being undone, and it does feel like the 15s game has been
dismantled.
Okay, well then that's a stronger word that I was going to use. So I mean, that's not really acceptable. I don't think anybody wants to see the 15s game dismantled. It's too enshrined in Irish rugby culture. I mean, with respect to the sevens, they finished third in February, and it didn't make a jot of the impact it might have if, you know, the 15s had achieved something comparable. So this can't really be allowed to happen. Something's going to have to give here. Anthony Eddy's going to have to come out and clarify what the direction is, because if this trend continues, then nobody's going to want to play 15s.
Exactly. There won't be a 15s team to play for, really. I am very, very disappointed. You got to see it from my point of view, and people like me, that we built something brilliant over many years, and it's slowly but surely been dismantled bit by bit, as far as I can see, because it's not been looked after at all. And I'm very annoyed about it. And why shouldn't I, and why shouldn't everybody else be?
Why has it been? It's just that, like, can you explain why?
Why has it been slowly dismantled?
Yeah.
Because of support. It hasn't been brought forward. Like, we gave them a base, a fantastic base to go from, and they have slowly but surely just, there's no technical direction. There's nothing going forward. The coaches are saying, you know, we made progress. No, they didn't. They made no progress this year. They're going backwards.
And what would the rationale be in prioritising the sevens over the 15s?
Money. It's a money game.
As in?
Really, the money, sevens is going for an Olympic, it's a medal, an Olympic, and they can see, they can sniff a medal. And rightly so, don't get me wrong, rightly so. If they, but don't prioritise it. Like, you can't prioritise it at the detriment of the 15s. You just can't. Because we're the backbone. The 15s is the backbone of this. There wouldn't be any sevens if it wasn't for 15s. End of story. And that's the way it's going to have to be. And that's the way I'd like it to see it be, you know. But regarding the dismantling, like, it's really just down to a lack of support, lack of effort, lack of infrastructure in the AIL. We're just not working together on it. There's no one working. It's just, you're just thrown out there, do your own thing. You get no technical direction from them. I was brought into a Six Nations camp this year. Yeah, I was very impressed with Mr. Griggs, and he's a good guy, and he's got the women's game at heart, which is really important. But that's it. See you, Philip. Good luck to you. Best of luck in the AAL. You got nothing else. Fight. You have to fight for everything.
Have you voiced these concerns to Anthony Eddy or anybody in the RFU?
Oh, you can't get Anthony Eddy to save your life. Best of luck to you getting an interview with that man. He's never piped. He won't pipe his head up. You get David Nusafora.
And have you tried to put it to Nusafora or even Philip Brown or somebody you have a relationship with in these concerns?
No, I can't get in there. I'm not allowed in the door, so they won't even entertain it.
Why aren't you allowed in the door?
Oh, well, it's just like, I've been on the radio before. I've been very critical of the direction of the women's game in the last couple of years, and rightly so. And unfortunately, when you voice your views about that kind of stuff, you're not really liked in the RFU anymore. So that's their prerogative, you know. But I'm only trying to say things to save the 15th game at this stage.
In short, and finally, what needs to happen?
Complete overhaul of the whole season structure and proper infrastructure put in place for all teams in the AIL, interprovincial, coaching-wise, and proper infrastructure.
Mm. And
that's it in a nutshell.
That's all very doable, it would strike me.
Pardon?
That's all very doable.
Oh, extremely doable. It is extremely doable and relatively cheap in my eyes for the RFU. Relatively cheap. Yeah, but they have to back the AIL because that's the grassroots. They really do. That's where they have to start and then bring it on to the interprovincials and then obviously onto the green jersey.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. We'll come back to it. Thanks for your time, Philip Doyle and Fiona Steed. We'll have to leave it there. Thanks, okay. Guys.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.